Thank you so much, Ken and Becca. I love to see the sign language in there, and to see the story painted through sign language is so pretty, and all the work and effort went into that special. Thank you all for that. And then to think of the words being sung, what a wonderful Savior we have, such a descriptive song of our wonderful Savior who has been so good to us. Today we're going to be in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, as we continue in our study of following his steps. I just want to catch up with where we're at. Last week, we talked about Jesus being willing to love. We saw that Jesus was willing to leave heaven, to take upon him the form of a servant. We talked about his willingness to obey his Father's will completely. We reflected on his birth. We went through the details of his birth last week. He was born to die. We could stop and pause right there. He came to this earth knowing he was going to die. I'm so thankful, however, that he didn't stay dead. He rose again, defeating death and sin and hell. He was obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. And then we wrapped our study up with 1 John 4:11. We were talking about the idea of Jesus being willing to love. We talked about God's love, how God loved us, and he proved that. He manifested that to us by sending his Son. And Jesus Christ was willing to love us. And in 1 John 4:11, we wrapped it up by saying, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." And so we looked at Jesus' willingness to love. And then we made it personal, because we're supposed to be following his steps. Where are we willing to love? So I want to ask you, I want to get personal real quick. I don't need you to raise your hands or shout out answers. But how did that go for you this week? Did you follow in his steps? Were you aware of the situations when you could show love and grace this week? Did the Word of God that we studied last week, did it affect you as you actually lived out your week? Were you aware of those situations when I can show love here? I can show grace here. Did that stick out a little bit for you this week? I hope that it did. But did you take action? Maybe you were sensitive to those situations. Maybe you were aware of those situations. But were you obedient? And man, I could show love here. I'm going to follow in Christ's steps. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to act on that this week. Or did you say, "I know I should, but maybe next week. Maybe I'll hear another message at church and I'll get it right for this week." How did that work out for you this week? Were you obedient? Were you willing to love this week? This week, we're going to continue to follow the steps of Christ, and we're going to look at the events immediately following his birth. And typically, this is another Christmas passage, which is fine. I know it's not December yet. We're still in September. But I just want us to take a look at the details that are going on here, because I believe that they can impact us daily. It should impact us daily, and it can change our lives. The title for our study today is Recognizing Reality. We have some reality on display in these verses. There's actually a lot of verses we're going to look at today. We have some reality on display. Are we going to recognize the reality? And speaking of recognizing reality, I have four children and they help you recognize stuff a lot. But this week was a very interesting week. Friday, we went on a hike with our kids, dangerous hike, rocky, jagged rocks, sticks, you know, kids, four small children, walking on this trail in the mountains, and my kids did great. Nobody got a scratch or a cut, just a great time. We get home to clean up from our trip, and Andy slips in the bathtub, smashes her chin, lays her chin open. And she's crying and being all dramatic and comes downstairs. And I'm like, Andy, you need to relax. And then she lifts up her chin and I almost pass out. And I need to relax at this point. But looking at that, I recognized the reality that this poor kid is going to need some stitches. You could see flesh and all kinds of nasty, queasy stuff. So I recognize the fact that, okay, you're all right here. You really are hurt. Let's go to the hospital. So we got to spend some quality father-daughter time in the ER room on Friday night. But in this, I just wanted to tell you that just because. In this story, in these verses, there is some reality to be recognized. And I looked up the definition to recognize. I thought I understood it. And as you go down the different sub-definitions, around the third or fourth one, here's what it says of recognize. To be aware of the significance of. To acknowledge the existence, validity, authority, or genuineness of. To accept as fact. To acknowledge as worthy of appreciation. And I want you to think about that definition as we go through these people who are introduced to the Savior, who are introduced to the Messiah, because they recognize who He is. They recognize reality, and that recognition leads them to action. They recognize the reality of Christ. Let's pray, and then we'll get into these verses. I understand it's familiar. But let's really step back. Let's look at this. Let's let this story play out in our minds. Let's imagine this actually happening, if you will, with me for the next 30 minutes. And let's allow the Holy Spirit to work on our hearts and our lives through His Word. Let's pray together. Dear Father, I thank You so much for Your love and Your faithfulness. I thank You that You did reveal Your Son to us, that You manifested Your Son, that He died on the cross, that He was buried, that He rose again, that He offers spiritual life and spiritual healing. I thank You so much for the gift that You gave to us. Please, Holy Spirit, work in our lives right now. Please speak to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's start in verse number 8, Luke 2, verse 8. Remember, Jesus had just been born. He was born in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Verse number 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. So, if you will, think about some shepherds. Think about them watching over their flock at nighttime. Think about them being alert and watching for predators. They have to take care of their flock. That's their job. So they're alert, they're looking, they're listening, they're ready for what's about to happen. Or at least you would think they would be ready. Then all of a sudden, I mean, I picture these guys, it's dark, they're looking around for predators. Then all of a sudden, boom, something happens. Verse number 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Could you imagine that? Imagine you were one of the shepherds sitting in this field. It's already dark, so you're already kind of a little on edge as it is, looking for a wolf or a lion or a bear or whatever. I would have been nervous. And then all of a sudden, boom, the angel of the Lord comes to you. The glory of the Lord is shining round about you. I imagine angel, bright lights. Oh, it's obvious something is happening. I imagine that God has their full attention at this point. Wouldn't God have your attention? You're supposed to be watching some sheep and then... Notice the message that is given. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Notice the message, good news and great joy. Who's the message for? For all people. That's an important thought right there. What is this good news? A Savior is born. Think about what the word Savior means, a deliverer, A deliverer is born. We need a deliverer. We need help from our sin problem. And these shepherds get this news that, hey, a Savior has been born, which is Christ. Christ is referring to the promised Messiah. The Messiah has been born. Let's not just read over those titles and say, yeah, Jesus was born. Let's think about the significance of what is being told to these shepherds. There's a Savior, a deliverer is born. The Messiah has come. And then he says, the Lord, supreme in authority. This is a title of deity. God has been born. God has come to this earth in the flesh. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Can you imagine the shepherds hearing this news from an angel with the glory of the Lord shining round about him? The Messiah has come to this earth. This reality led the angels to action. I want you to think about that, because we've been looking at the shepherds. They're getting this news and they're going to be led to action. But this reality also led the angels to action. The Messiah has come. Now the angel of the Lord is going to come and he is going to deliver the news to the shepherds. There will be more action from the angels in a minute. But the angel told the shepherds. To me, it's interesting that they told shepherds. That was the first place they delivered the news to. I talked about last week how it's interesting that Christ, the Messiah, was born in a manger. There wasn't even room in the inn for him. That's interesting. And then the first people that are going to be told about it are the shepherds abiding in the fields. Why not the priest? Why not the scribes? Why shepherds? God chose to tell shepherds first. I can't tell you why. I don't know. I can guess. I have lots of guesses. But God chose to give this message to the shepherds first. And I want you to think about this, just free thoughts here. Jesus is the good shepherd. In John chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I just want to put that correlation out there. He told shepherds, and Jesus is the good shepherd. John recognizes Jesus as the Lamb of God that is going to take away the sins of the world. John chapter 1, verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So as we think about this news being delivered to the shepherds, it's just an interesting thought that Jesus is the good shepherd and he was the Lamb to take away the sin of the world. The angels deliver the amazing truth that the Messiah has been born and he is in Bethlehem. That's big news, big time news, and it's delivered in a big way. Then they go on, then the angel goes on, hear how you will know you have found him. Verse number 12 of Luke 2, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. So from what I studied, swaddling clothes were fairly normal, to wrap your baby up in swaddling clothes. Being born in a manger because there was no room in the inn was apparently not an everyday thing. And this would aid in their search for the Messiah. As they're looking for him, the angel tells them that he's wrapped in swaddling clothes and he's lying in a manger. Think of what just happened on a real life level. Put yourself in the shoes of the shepherd. I don't know if you have been or you've been trying to, but let's work together here. Put yourself in the shoes of the shepherds. They were just told the Savior, the Messiah, God was born, and he is in a manger. And if you hear that news as a shepherd, you hear he was born in a manger, I imagine, of course, them thinking, what? Shouldn't he be in a palace? The Messiah was born. God has come to this world. The Lord is here. The Savior has come. And I imagine them, just like I imagine myself, why isn't he in a palace? Why are you telling us about it? And to me, it's just another picture of the humility of Christ taking on himself the form of a servant from Philippians chapter 2. And as we read on, and suddenly, verse 13, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. A multitude of the heavenly host. Think of this situation. Hopefully you're still there thinking about it. One angel with the glory of the Lord shining about them. Then all of a sudden, the multitude of the heavenly host singing God and saying glory to God on the highest. Many, many angels worshiping God. This wasn't just like one or two. It's a multitude of the heavenly host. Hebrews 1:6 says, and again when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Can you imagine the scene? Could you imagine being out in the pasture or wherever they were, and all of a sudden the sky lights up with angels, and you hear them saying in unison, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Could you imagine? You think that would have an effect on you? Think that would wake you up a little bit? Whether it was your turn to watch the sheep or not, you're awake. And you're amazed at what is going on. Verse 14 has some interesting words in it. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The good shepherd has come to the earth, offering peace with God. Did you catch that? Glory to God on the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The good shepherd is offering, or is going to offer, peace with God. Through shedding his blood on the cross and raising again from the dead, he offers justification. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to this earth and the message was delivered, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. That's big news in a big way. They were just introduced to a reality. How will they respond? Are they going to realize, or are they going to reject? We know how the story plays out, but let's keep reading. Verse 15, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven. So could you imagine, you just saw this amazing sight, all these angels, all of a sudden, gone, dark again. And you have the shepherds together in a group or close to each other or running to find each other to talk about what had just happened. And it came to pass, verse 15, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord had made known unto us. Can you imagine their conversation? Like, whoa, what just happened? Can you believe we saw that? That was a pretty crazy sight. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go see what they were just telling us about. Let's see what this angel told us about. Verse 16, and they came with haste. I would hope so. I picture them just, they talk about it, let's go, and they're gone. And found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. They had a new priority. It wasn't the sheep. It was going to find the Messiah, the Savior. God had come to this earth. I'd imagine they found someone to watch over the sheep. But as for them, they were out. They were going to find this Messiah. And they find Mary and Joseph and the babe, and they're in the manger. Verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. So they saw, they realized, and they were impacted. They believed when the angel told them. They went to Bethlehem to see it. Now they get to see the Messiah, and they were impacted. Realizing who this baby was led them to action. Do you see what their action was? They made known abroad the saying which was told them. You know what abroad means? All over the place. They went all over the place telling the good news that they had just heard. It changed their lives. And it didn't matter how crazy it sounded to people. They were willing to spread this truth, to spread this message, because they recognized who this Messiah was, and they knew that they needed to tell others. Verse 18, "And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." That word "wondered" means admire, marvel, or to wonder. People would still respond to Jesus this way when they met him in person. If you flip over to Luke 4:22, should be just one page to your right. Luke 4:22, "And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son?" So even when Jesus grew up, even when he was in his earthly ministry, people were still responding with wonder. Verse 19, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." And can you just imagine Mary putting yourself into the story again, just in awe of what's happening in her life? She got to give birth to the Messiah. She got to be his earthly mother. Her and Joseph got to raise him. But I just imagine her sitting back and watching this story unfold. Imagine these shepherds coming in from the field and say, "Hey, Mary and Joseph, guess what just happened?" And then they tell her about all the angels, about the message they had heard. And I can just picture her sitting there just in awe that God would use her, that God would allow her to raise this Messiah, and to just sit back and think about it. It gives me those goosebumps Ken was talking about earlier. But can you just imagine Mary and what she was going through emotionally? Verse number 20, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." So they realized this reality of who the Messiah was, who the Savior was, and it led them to action. They had something to talk about, and they did. Can you picture them on their way home, the conversation that they were having as they're headed back to the pasture, the stories that they were telling each other? They were glorifying and praising God. They had something to talk about, and they praised God for it. They went to God in praise for his gift that he had given to this world. Next, we have Mary and Joseph. They had the privilege of raising God. Let that sink in. They held the Messiah in their arms. They realized the reality daily. Christ was a daily reality to Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph were obedient to the law in regards to requirements for having a son. Verses 21 through 24. "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb." And to me, it's just a testimony of their belief in what was happening, that they were obedient to name him the name that the angel told them to name him. They didn't say, "No, I would rather name him Mephibosheth." They went with the name that God told them to name Jesus. And Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. They were obedient in the naming of Jesus. Verse 22, "And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, which would have been 40 days, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And Jerusalem would have been around 6 miles from Bethlehem. So they're being obedient to fulfill the other requirements of the law. Verse number 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. So they're being obedient. They're following these requirements that they're supposed to. Their offering of a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons was the offering for those too poor to bring a lamb. If you were too poor for a lamb, you would bring 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And to me, it's crazy to think that their son was the lamb to take away the sins of the world. Yet they were too poor to offer a lamb. But they had the Lamb of God they were raising for a child. Mary and Joseph no doubt realized the reality, and it led them to continue in obedience. It impacted them in many ways every day for the rest of their lives. Jesus Christ impacted Mary and Joseph. Then we'll go into verse 25, and we're going to look at Simeon. We're going to look at Simeon, and then we're going to look at Anna. Simeon, verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. So we know very little about Simeon. He's mentioned nowhere else in Scripture. We just don't know a lot about him. But what we do know is that he eagerly looked for the Messiah. He was just, he was devout, he reverenced God, the Holy Ghost was upon him. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And what that is that's a messianic title, and it refers to messianic hope. He was waiting for this hope to come. Look at verses 26 and 27. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said. So this man, this Simeon, was told that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And the Lord leads him to the temple, and who does he get to see? He gets to see Jesus. And he takes Jesus up in his arms and blessed God and said, so he has the Messiah in his arms, and he starts to praise God. Verses 29 through 32, here's what he says. Now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. He starts praising God. And I love how he says that he's a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people is Israel. And then in verse 31 he says, for thou hast prepared before the face of all people. And we're just reminded again of the promise in verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The Messiah came to be a light, to save, to forgive, to be that perfect sinless Lamb of God, to die on the cross, to pay for our sins. Verse number 33, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. So now we have Joseph and Mary both marveling at what is going on. I could not even imagine this going on. Hearing Simeon say this stuff about the baby that you had just had, the child you had the privilege of raising. And so they're marveling at those things which are spoken. Verse 34 and 35, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And we could spend a whole lot of time right there talking about what he had just prophesied. But I just want to point out a few things. The fall and rising. Think about Jesus is going to be a stumbling block to those who reject him. As we go through our study, we'll see that. But he is a rock to those who will receive him. It says that he will be spoken against. Think of the verbal insults that were given to Christ in his earthly ministry and then leading up to his death on the cross. He was rejected and he was mocked. Then, a very sad thought in verse 35, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. And I think about Mary again. I think about the pain that she would endure as Jesus' mother. Because she had that motherly love for him. And to think of what she would go through watching those reject her son, then watching her son be murdered on the cross, she would feel a pain seeing her son go through that. And then thoughts of many hearts is mentioned, and that's speaking of the rejection that is going to lead to the execution of Christ. What I want us to see is that Simeon realized the reality. He realized this was the Messiah. He realized this was the Lord. It led him to praise, and it led him to share the truth. And that's exactly what he was doing in those following verses. Then we are going to look at Anna. We have three verses left this morning. Verse 36, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. Anna's name means grace. Isn't that interesting? She gets to see the Messiah as a baby. Her name means grace, which is what God offers to us. She was a prophetess, a woman that spoke God's word. She was a godly widow. She was old. That's emphasized in there. Verse 37, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Apparently, she was married for 7 years. She was widowed for 84 years. She lived at the temple. She served God night and day. Verse 38, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So here comes Anna walking in. We know a little bit about her. We know how much she loves God. And then she walks in and she sees Simeon. She sees Simeon with the Messiah. And she joins in the praising. And then she tells the good news. I don't know if you caught that at the end of verse 39. And spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She told of the Messiah to all them that looked for redemption. Redemption is deliverance. And one definition says especially from the penalty of sin, which Jesus Christ came to save us from the penalty of sin. And she started spreading the news that the Savior had come. She started spreading that good news. She realized the reality, and it led her to action. She praised, and she shared. Did you catch the emphasis? I know that was a lot of verses to study in one setting. But did you catch the emphasis as we were going through how people would realize, they would recognize who the Messiah was, and then it would lead them to some action. And it was praising God and then telling people about it. So you probably figured out where the application is going here. We know the facts. Jesus came to this earth. The Savior came. Jesus died. Jesus rose again. Jesus offers forgiveness. He offers redemption. He offers justification. God's word declares the details. God has shed his love abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads us. The Holy Spirit guides us. We have the information to recognize the reality that Jesus Christ has come. We can look back and see that He paid for our sins on that cross and He rose again from the dead. Have we recognized that reality? I want to read you the definition again of recognize. To be aware of the significance of. To acknowledge the existence, validity, authority, or genuineness of. To accept as fact. To acknowledge as worthy of appreciation. Have you recognized the reality of Jesus Christ? Is that reality leading you to action? Are you sensitive and obedient to His leading? Are you praising and sharing? Are you sharing that good news that the Messiah has come? Are there people in your life you can share that with? Are you loving and serving? Are you letting your light shine? And it's personal, but it should be. Christ died for us. He died for you. He died for me. He paid my sin debt. Do I recognize that reality? Does that reality have an effect on me? Recognizing the truth of Jesus should have an impact on your life. So does it. I want to be careful that we don't just grow numb because we know all the right answers. We know all the Sunday school answers. We know the details. I don't want to grow numb to the fact that God is alive. And the Holy Spirit is working in our lives on a daily basis. Let's recognize the reality of Christ and let's let it affect us on a daily basis. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank You for the examples that we saw today. I thank You for the reality of Your Son. I thank You for being so good to us, for offering forgiveness to us. I pray that we will all trust in You as our Lord and Savior, and that we will let Your Holy Spirit lead and guide us. Please help us, Father. In Your name I pray. Amen. Let's all stand together, and we'll sing song number 305 together.